Well, if you've been at our church for very long, you know that over the past year and a half, we've been walking through a series titled The Bible, A True Story. Now, we had taken a little break over this last month for various reasons. I was gone. Pastor Craig spoke. You know, we had the outdoor service. And then last week, it was because my wife came up here and shared. And let me say this. If you weren't here, she did an amazing job. And so I would encourage you to go and to listen to it online. It was a very encouraging, very spirit-filled message. And so check it out if you missed it last week. But today, we're going to kind of be jumping back into our series that has been taking us through the Bible. As we've been highlighting different stories, different people, different scriptures that have been helping us, I think, and I hope, to understand who God is better, and also to understand who He desires us to be and the lives that He desires us to live. Now, if you can remember back a month ago, which you may or may not, when we were last in our series, you would know that we took a brief stop in the book of Psalms as we looked at Psalm 23. One of my favorite psalms and probably one of the most popular and familiar psalms in the Bible. And today, as we jump into the next book of the Bible, as we jump from Psalms into Proverbs, we're going to look at another very popular scripture, one that many of you may have at least heard of. Maybe even some of you have memorized the scripture, know it by heart. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to get there in a minute. But before we dive into our scripture this morning, let me kind of give you a little background on the book of Proverbs. First, I think we need to understand what a proverb is. And since this is a book of Proverbs, it's important that we know that. And a proverb is basically, a short saying or statement or words that share some sort of truth or some sort of advice or wisdom. And these proverbs are usually spoken or shared by people with great knowledge, great wisdom. And the book of Proverbs here in the Bible begins in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, saying this. I'm going to put it on the screen so you don't have to flip through yourself. But the very beginning of Proverbs starts this way. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight." And so we find here at the very beginning that the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon. And these words that he shares were given to us to gain wisdom, to gain instruction. Now, if you were here and you remember back in April, we found ourselves in 1 Kings in this series. And we took some time to look at the life of King Solomon. Now, you may remember that his reign as king of Israel, it got off to a great and amazing start. God had said to Solomon, he said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And since Solomon asked for wisdom, he asked for a discerning heart to lead. And because he asked for that, instead of asking for things like money or wealth or honor, I guess wealth and money are the same, wealth and honor, God gave him what he asked for. He gave him wisdom. He gave him a discerning heart, but he also then gave him great wealth and honor. And for a time, we saw here with King Solomon that Israel grew and flourished under his leadership and under the wisdom that he had gained. But somewhere along the line, King Solomon failed to use that wisdom that God had given him. And we find later that his lust for women caused him to disobey the commands that God had given him. And the commands were that he wasn't to marry foreign women. And that's because he knew that the foreign women would lead him to worship other gods, gods that weren't the true God. But we're told in the scriptures that he actually had 700 wives and 300 maidservants, most of them from foreign countries. And these foreign wives did exactly what God said they would do. They led him down a path of worshiping their gods, worshiping other gods. And so because of Solomon's disobedience, God stripped his kingdom from him. And so we see the life of Solomon was really a tale of two lives. His early years, where he grew in the knowledge of the Lord, and he did amazing things for his kingdom and for the people of Israel. But then his later years, where he failed to use this wisdom that God had given him, and he let these sinful desires get the best of him. But it was in the early years that he wrote these words now found in Proverbs. And despite his downfall, Solomon was still known as one of the wisest men in the ancient world. And we know that that wasn't because of his wisdom, right? It wasn't the wisdom he had. It didn't come from man, but it was because he had this amazing wisdom that came from God. And in the beginning chapters of Proverbs, Solomon is actually passing on wisdom to his son. He's sharing with his son these important things, these important words that he wants to pass on to him. Now, I actually took my son camping a couple weeks ago. It was our third father and son getaway that I've done with him, with the purpose of passing on wisdom, with the purpose of helping him become the man of God that we believe God desires him to be. We did one with him at age 11, or I did one with him at age 11. I did one at age 13. And then this one was age 16. We'll do another one at age 18. But I started doing these times with Toby because of a few Bible studies and books that I had read where they talked about the importance of intentionally speaking into your kids' lives and intentionally mentoring them through the challenging things known as life, right? Life is challenging, and we need someone to help guide us and direct us through those things. And each time that I've done this, that I've taken him for these camping trips, there were specific words of wisdom and understanding that I was hoping to speak into his life. And I believe that this is what Solomon was doing for his son in these early chapters of Proverbs. He was sharing with his son these words of wisdom that would help him through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And so this morning, I want to look at one of those words of wisdom that he spoke to his son and how we can learn from these words ourselves. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow with me as we read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Like I said, many of you will recognize this scripture. This is what it says. We've got it to go up on the screen because it's so short this morning. If you don't have your Bible, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." Now, Solomon tells his son in this scripture to trust in the Lord. And he tells him how to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that word heart, it's such an interesting word because in this context, I believe it's referring to our lives, the whole of our lives. It's trusting God with all that we are, with our desires, with our hopes, with our dreams, with our emotions, with our everything. It's relinquishing control of our own lives and totally depending upon God to guide us and direct us. And the truth is, this is a scary thing because most of us like to be in control. Am I right? We like to be in control. We want to decide where we're going. We want to decide our own future. We want to decide what we think is best for us. But Solomon here in all his wisdom understands that if we want to live the lives that God has called us to live, if his son wants to be the man that God desires him to be, we have to trust in the Lord. And I think the big question all of us have to answer is this, is why? Why do we trust in the Lord? Or even why should we trust in the Lord? Now, the truth is, we could do a whole series on the reasons why we can and should trust in the Lord. But as I pondered this question, as I prayed about what God would have me share today, this morning, there were four reasons that I felt seemed to kind of rise to the surface. And that's what I want to share with you. Four reasons why we trust in the Lord. The first is this. I think we trust in the Lord because He is present. He is present. The fact is, many people think of God as this distant, detached God, as this God who's impersonal, a God who isn't involved in our everyday lives, a God who's too busy and too important to worry about little old us here on this earth. But the reality is, this is far from the truth, because we serve a God who is present, a God who is with us, a God who is aware of everything we go through and everything we experience. And the truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's better for us than what we think is best. Listen to what David tells us in Psalm 139, 1 through 7. He says this, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." Now, that truth will either comfort us or scare us, right? The fact that God is with us always and knows everything we do. But we have to understand that He is a God who is present in our lives. And it's because He loves us and wants to come alongside us and help us live the life He's called us to live. He's there not to stand and point the finger. He's there to encourage us and to give us the guidance and direction that we need to live the lives He's called us to live. And it's because of this truth that we can trust in Him and trust that when we do trust in Him, He will then guide us. He will then make our path straight. He will go before us and lead the way. Amen. We trust the Lord because He is present. And then secondly, I think that we trust in the Lord because He cares. He cares for us. Now, we live in a world where a lot of times people don't care about anything but their own lives. But the fact is, we serve a God who cares deeply about every single one of us. I believe that when we feel joy, He feels joy right along with us. I believe that when we feel hurt, when we feel pain, He feels that hurt and pain with us. The things that concern us, I think those things concern Him as well. Which is why 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our cares on Him. To give these concerns, to give these things to Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for us. God cares about us, and that's why He wants us to trust in Him. Because He cares for us, and He knows what's best for us. He knows the path that leads to joy. He knows the path that also leads to sorrow. And sometimes those paths can look identical. We come to that fork in the road, and to us, those paths look identical. And sometimes those paths can actually look opposite. That path that looks easy, he knows it's a difficult one. That path that looks difficult is actually the one. It may not be easy, but it's the one he desires us to take. Which is why we can't lean on our own understanding. We have to trust in him and his will for our lives. There are many people in this world that think God is a killjoy. That he's nothing more than a rule monger who keeps us from having fun and experiencing the pleasures of this world, that he just sits up there and forces us to do these things and to follow these rules. But I think that's far from the truth. That's completely opposite of the God that we serve. If people could only realize this, they would realize that the things that God does, he does for a reason. About 4 years ago, I did a series here titled OSX Commandments. Okay, an operating system for the Christian life. It's a little play on OSX, Apple's operating system, right? OSX. But it was basically, it was a series on the Ten Commandments. Now, many people see the Ten Commandments as a bunch of rules and regulations that God has given us. But in that series, I shared how the Ten Commandments could really be looked at more as a love letter to us from God. He gave us the Ten Commandments because he loves us and he cares deeply about us. You see, the commandments, they weren't just about rules and regulations. That's all we see, these rules and regulations. They were about his love and his care for us as our Heavenly Father. You see, as a father myself, I love my kids. I want what's best for my kids. And the fact is that as they come into this world, they have no understanding of right and wrong. And more often than not, they're going to choose the wrong. So as a father who loves his kids, I've done my best to teach them what I know about right and wrong. I've done my best to love them and to keep them safe and to help them know the truth. Now, to do this, my wife and I have had to set up rules at times, right? Rules to protect them. Let me give you an example. When Toby and Emma were little, we had a glass or a gas fireplace that had the glass on the front of it. And for their safety, they weren't allowed to touch the fireplace, right? It didn't matter if it was hot or cold. They weren't allowed to touch the fire. It was a no-no. They got in trouble if they touched the fireplace, right? Now, the thing is, 50% of the time, touching that fireplace wouldn't have hurt them. It wouldn't have done anything. But there was the other 50% of the time that it would have fried their little hands. The pain and the hurt that they would have experienced if they touched that hot fireplace. And let me tell you, that glass got hot. I touched it once. I think it was when we first made this rule. I was like, how hot is it? It's like, oh, yeah, that's hot. Wow, yeah, the kids can't touch that. Now, do we create this rule of not touching the fireplace to torture our kids? To make life miserable for them? You know, they sit there and probably nod yes. No, we did it to protect them. It was what any loving parent would do. We set up this rule because we cared about our kids and we knew the consequences of not following that rule. And the fact is, there are many rules that we've set up for our kids over the years, and many of them they didn't like, right? We never liked them. But we did that because, whether they want to admit it or not, as parents, we know things sometimes that they don't know. And more often than not, we know what's best for them. And I say more often than not because we're imperfect, right, as parents sometimes. But more often than not, we know what's best for them. I know some of you shake your heads as parents like, no, I'm not imperfect. I don't make mistakes. I won't point out who shook their head there. And whether we want to admit it or not, though, God knows what's best for each of us. And he doesn't make mistakes. He is perfect. And because he cares for us, we can trust that he has our best interest at hand. If he said, don't do it, There is a reason that he's told us not to do it, because he knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows the hurt that it can bring. Because he cares for us, we can trust him with our lives. Amen. We trust in the Lord because he's present. We trust in the Lord because he cares. And thirdly, we trust in the Lord because he is faithful. He is faithful. Now, as I was looking up the word faithful and looking up old notes and things, I came across this saying from a Hallmark card that I once read years ago. It said this: I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. Now think about that, right? I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. How shallow is that? I'll commit to today, but I'm not going to commit beyond that, right? Unfortunately, that is often the extent of our faithfulness and commitment in today's world. The truth is, it's harder and harder to find people who are faithful, to find people who are willing to commit to things. You see, the world has told us that being faithful or making commitments, that's not important anymore. Right? You know, covenants, promises, commitments, contracts, those kind of things. That was a time of the past, is what our world says. And so because of that, we give up on just about everything. We give up on our relationships. We give up on our jobs. We give up on our dreams. We give up on our churches at times. We even sometimes give up on God, right? Which that in and of itself is kind of ironic when you think about it, because God never gives up on us. He is always faithful. It tells us this in Deuteronomy 7:9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." One of the amazing things that we've seen in this series as we've been walking through the Bible is we've seen God's faithfulness to his people. We've seen it all throughout the scriptures. We saw his faithfulness to Noah, his faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah, his faithfulness to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, to Joshua, to Caleb, to Hannah, to Samuel, to David, to Solomon, to Elijah, to Elisha, to Esther, to Job, and so on and so on. As we continue through this series, we'll continue to see his faithfulness. God has been faithful to keep his covenants and his promises all throughout his word. And he continues that faithfulness to each of us here today. And it's because of that faithfulness that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And that second part is huge. Because as we look at God's faithfulness to all his people throughout the scriptures, think about this. Very rarely did it look the way that they had expected it to look, right? Very rarely did it look the way they expected it to look. Which leads me to my final point this morning, which is this. We trust in the Lord because he is God. He is God. Our series is titled The Bible, A True Story. We titled it that because we believe that his word is true. That what's in here, what God wrote, it's not fiction. It's not a bunch of made up things. We believe that this is the word of God, from God, that it is true. And in his word, we see that he is the creator of all things. John 1:3 tells us that through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then if you jump into Colossians 1:16, it says this: "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. God is our creator. He is God. He is in control. And I think as we understand that, we have to remember that, as I mentioned earlier, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. Why? Because he is God, creator of all things. And so things won't always look the way that we want them to look, the way we think they should look. But we have to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. And I think that we can do that if we look at these important truths that we talked about today. If we understand the fact that he is present, he's a present God, and he'll be with us through the good and the bad. He'll never leave us or forsake us. If we can remember the fact that he cares. He cares about us, for each of us. And he continues to show us his love and compassion time and time again. If we remember the fact that he is faithful and he always keeps his promises. And though we may quit at times, we may quit on him. We may not be faithful. We may be unfaithful. He never quits. He never gives up on us. And then, of course, the fact that he's God. He is God, which means he's in control. He is the creator of all things. And because of that, we can put our trust in him. And let me finish with this morning. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom and knowledge. I encourage you to read through it. Many people in their Bible reading will read through one Proverbs a day. If you do that, you actually every month can get through one of the Proverbs. I know people that do that on a regular basis. And I encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. It's full of wisdom and knowledge. And the fact is, God's entire word is full of wisdom and knowledge to help us live the kind of lives that God has called us to live. But here's the thing. It's not enough to just read or even know the things God has put in here. I know many people that they can quote scripture as non-Christians better than we can sometimes as Christians, right? It's not enough to just know the things that God put in here. We have to actually apply them to our lives. We have to live them out. You see, Solomon was given great wisdom. He was known as the wisest man in ancient history. He penned the words we read today to his son because he knew the importance of trusting in God. But the sad thing is, as I mentioned earlier, there were two parts of Solomon's life. In the end, he was still a man full of wisdom. But the problem was he began to lean on his own understanding. He did what felt good to him. What seemed right to him, instead of doing what God told him to do, instead of doing what he really knew was right. And his failure to trust that God knew what he was talking about, the failure to trust in the wisdom that God had given him, is what led to his downfall. And the reality is, we all fall into this trap at times. As Christians, we're good at talking the talk, right? We're good at knowing how everybody else should live. We're good at those words for everyone else, those words of wisdom that other people should live by. But we're not as good at living them out ourselves. I know I'm guilty of this at times. I can stand up here and preach and know how we're supposed to live, but it's a whole other thing to walk it out throughout the week. We're not as good sometimes at living it out. And I can't help but wonder sometimes why that is. Why, when I know his scriptures, do I know what God desires? I mean, why do I have trouble living it out? As I was processing that this week, I think it really comes back to our scripture this morning. Do we trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Do we trust in Him? Do we lean on our own understanding? Or do we lean on His understandings? Because I think if we can come to that place where we truly, 100% trust in Him, trust in His word, trust in the things that He says, trust and believe that, hey, if He says it, I believe He will do it. If we can come to that place where we truly trust in Him, we'll be willing to not just talk about it, but we'll begin to live it out, to walk it out. And I don't know about you, but I hope all of us, but my desire is I want to be someone who is truly seeking to live it. To live it out, to not just know it, to not just say it, but that I'm truly living it out the way God desires me to, because I want to be a follower of Jesus who follows His word and lives the life that He's called me to live. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for these words of Solomon, these words of wisdom as He was speaking to his son and sharing with him that he needs to be someone who trusts in the Lord with all his heart and leans not on his own understanding. And Lord, those words, He penned those for his son, but those are words for every single one of us here today, that we need to be people who trust in You with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, Lord. And that second part, it is so important, because when we lean on our understanding, that's when we lose trust. That's when we fail to trust in You. That's when we fail to truly walk it out and live the life that You've called us to live, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the fact, Lord, that you continue to encourage us to live the lives that You've called us to live, that You can continue to encourage us, Lord, to not just know right and wrong, to not just know the scriptures, but to apply them to our lives. And I pray that for each of us, Lord. I pray that we would learn how to apply these scriptures to our lives. It's so easy to go, oh yeah, that's a good scripture. Oh yeah, that's how I should live. But to not really live it out. But Lord, if we trust that You are God, that if we trust that Your word is true, then we need to trust that the things that You tell us to do, that we're told that for a reason, so that we can be who You've called us to be, that we can live the lives that You've called us to live. And so I just pray, Lord, that You help us to trust in You with all of our heart, that You help us to lean not on our own understanding, but to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord, to begin to walk these things out, to understand that You are a God who cares deeply about us, that You are present and with us, Lord, that You are faithful and that You are God. And so we thank You for these things. We give them to You this morning. And again, just pray that, Lord, You allow these things to speak to us where we're at, Lord. Whatever it is that You want to speak to us as individuals today, Lord, that those things would jump out at us. Those things would stand out, and that we would grab hold of those things. And again, we wouldn't just go, yeah, great message, and walk out of this building, but that we'd say that those are powerful words, Lord. How do I begin to live them out? Give me the strength, Lord. Be my strength, Lord. In my weaknesses, You are strong. So, Lord, help me in my weaknesses to begin to live the life that You have called me to live, to trust in You with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways to acknowledge You so that my paths will be straight, Lord. We thank You for these things. We give them to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.